Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining us today. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. My website is www.jbsba.com. And when you get there, don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. And it comes every week on Sunday by email. And when you get it, it'll get you ready for the week ahead. And as you know, as many of you know, I'm conducting a series of articles on New Year resolutions based on the fundamentals of operating our small businesses, and so I hope you'll go ahead and get subscribed up for that. I think you'll enjoy this. We'll be conducting it over 7 more weeks. So that's at jbsba.com. Governor Pete DuPont is with us, ladies and gentlemen. He's a former governor of the great state of Delaware. He is a former congressman from that great state. He's also former presidential candidate, and he's now the chairman of the National Center for Policy Analysis, but more importantly, he's a member of our Brain Trust, and he's our good friend. Governor DuPont, welcome back to the show.
Well, Jim, good morning, and congratulations on your award.
Well, I appreciate that. It's great to have you back, Governor. As always, Happy New Year.
Well, Happy New Year to you. You have a wonderful program, and your listeners ought to go on that website. There's all kinds of interesting information tucked in there.
Well, there is, and I appreciate you saying that, including, ladies and gentlemen, a number of archives of past shows that we've done with the governor that you can find there if you find his position in our Brain Trust. Governor DuPont, you wrote a very good article in the Wall Street Journal Opinion Journal, WallStreetJournal.com site, and where you talked about you reflected, I guess I should say, on 2004 and some of the good, the bad, and the ugly about 2004. Talk to us about that a little bit.
Well, of course, the real good was the Red Sox winning the World Series for the first time in 86 years. I mean, that's the first line of the column. Then the fact that, the best pollsters in America are grade school kids on the Weekly Reader. You probably remember the Weekly Reader when in third and fourth grade. Well, they have correctly predicted presidential election outcomes in 11 of the previous 12 elections. I think they're better than Fox, better than Zogby, better than CBS. I mean, these kids really know what's going on.
That's funny. No, you're right about that. That is an interesting thing. I remember when I saw that they had predicted that Bush would win. That had to have not been a good news for the Democrats.
No, exactly right. But
I wonder how they took that into their strategy when they heard that. What about, Governor? One of the most important statistics, and you talk about this a little bit, not specifically this particular point that I'm going to make, but in general, one of the most important things that I have found out that at the end of World War II, there were, I think, 20 democracies on Earth. And at the end of 2004, was something like 119 or 120.
That's exactly
good
right.
News for humanity, isn't it?
That is very good news for humanity. And, I saw in 2004 a shift towards freedom and democracy. I mean, they had elections in Afghanistan for the first time in the history of the country.
Mm-hmm.
In Iraq, there are going to be elections at the end of this month. The Ukraine had an election, a contested election, and a rerun that brought freedom to a formerly communist country.
I wasn't as impressed with the election as I was with the fact that they determined the first one was fraudulent, and they turned right around and did another one right away. That impressed me.
It was extraordinary, and the extraordinary thing was all those tens of thousands of people in orange out there on the streets, camped out, making sure it happened. But the point is that freedom is expanding around the world, and America's part of that effort, and that's got to be a big thing for 2004.
Well, see, now this speaks to a very important issue, Governor. It seems to me that there are people in this country who don't believe that the United States has a role, let alone an obligation, to really being to taking overt action to help distribute freedom and democracy around the country, and I mean around the world. And I know you disagree with those people.
Well, I do, and if you go back, those are the same people who said there's really nothing wrong with communist Soviet Union. Mm-hmm. They just have a different form of government than ours, and it's just as good as ours, and we really shouldn't be mean to them, and we really shouldn't pressure them. And they were appalled when Harry Truman put together the Marshall Plan to try to aid Europe, to try to stop the expansion of communism into Greece and Turkey. And it's the same kind of thinking now. Well, a state that's not a true democracy can still be okay, but that's not true, and I think they're wrong.
I think you're right. I think you're right about that. I think they are wrong. And we're going to talk about this some more with our good friend Governor Pete DuPont after these messages. It's 2012. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Don't go away. Back at 17:10, I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Governor Pete DuPont is our guest. And Governor DuPont, one of the things we're talking about, what was happening in the Eastern European area, the Ukraine and the Republic of Georgia and places like that. One of the things that's happening over there that's the harness mate of freedom and democracy, and that's the free enterprise system. And that is the foundation of democracy, isn't it?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you don't have a free market, I mean, if you have price controls, government regulation of the distribution of goods, regulation of what you can do with the money in your business, your country doesn't grow. Your country doesn't prosper, and if your economy isn't prospering, small business people don't prosper. Big business people don't prosper. I mean, it's a terrible thing, and we've seen that in the failure of socialism and communism around the globe over many decades now. And I think the people of the former Soviet Union are suddenly realizing that. They need a better economy, a market economy, and by gosh, it's working everywhere. About half a dozen countries over there, former communist countries, mm-hmm. actually have a flat tax.
Right.
A common tax rate for everyone and just one of them, so you don't have all these forms to fill out and so forth. So they're learning that free enterprise is the key to a strong democracy and a quality of life.
What about, let's talk about Russia proper. It's actually going backwards, isn't it?
It is absolutely going backwards, and you wonder why the Russian people just one day don't say we've had enough of this. I mean, Putin was a KGB leader, and he is all KGB in his thinking. He wants to regulate everything. They tried to rig the elections in the Ukraine. I think probably the KGB. Now the FSB, but I think they were probably involved in the poisoning effort against the current president of the Ukraine. But they don't like a market economy. The government is seizing the oil industry, some of the broadcast industries, virtually all of the newspapers are regulated in what they can print, and they just haven't learned that what they did under Soviet communism didn't work, and I think they're going to try it again.
Well, I think you may be right, and that's going to be very unfortunate. Let's talk about another thing. I want to talk about is the news media. What kind of a year did the major news media have last year?
Oh my gosh, they. I should be careful what I say here. You're part of the media, I suppose. But
I don't think I'm part of the major media.
No, you're not. Well, not yet. Not yet. And you're also a very ethical part of the media, and that's a good thing. But gosh, they had a tough year. Dan Rather's CBS broadcast of the false information was devastating. And
are you surprised he still has his job?
I really am. He's of course a senior and powerful person, but when you do something like that, the news media that hires you is going to suffer if they keep you on the job. And I'm surprised that he's still there.
The thing that surprised me about that is how many of his peers even though many of them, you know, consider him to be a friend and respect his work, historically, how many of them are really pointing out that this was a really bad thing that they did? This one reporting on President Bush's Army Reserve, or I should say National Guard activity.
Well, you know, I think the best headline of the year was the New York Times in an article about it, and the headline was "Fake but Accurate," as if you can publish all the fake information you like as long as there seems to be some accuracy to it. And
right.
And of course, the New York Times had a problem. USA Today quickly handled its ethical problem. So I think the media is waking up to the fact that it's not just a big establishment that can do anything it likes. It's going to have to follow the same standards as everyone else. But they had a tough year, and I think it's easy to predict that 2005 is going to be better for them, because I'm not sure it could be worse.
Speaking of 2005, what are your thoughts on this new year? Are you hopeful about it from the standpoint of the United States?
Oh, I think domestically we have an enormous opportunity. The economic strength that President Bush is showing regarding Social Security and taxes and home ownership and helping individuals become part of an ownership society, I think that's all going to work. He's put a lot of his political capital on the line regarding Social Security and taxes and health care. I think he's likely to be successful, not on all three probably, but perhaps on two out of the three. He's a very strong person. You know, he reminds me a little bit of Harry Truman, who took office when Franklin Roosevelt died, and nobody thought Harry Truman amounted to anything. He turned out to be a very strong and resolute president. He was a leader, and President Bush is a leader, and he's got some strength and resolution, too. So
well,
I think it's going to be a good
thing.
Year.
Governor DuPont, I can understand how some people on the other side of the aisle would not want Bush to be as successful as he may be. I can understand them disagreeing with him on how Social Security, for example, should be reformed. But to stand up and deny that there's a problem is, as some of them are doing, is, I mean, to me, that's where they lose credibility.
Oh, they do. And
because we have a major problem with Social Security. It's a train wreck waiting to happen.
Well, when Franklin Roosevelt put Social Security together, there are about 45 workers per beneficiary, and pretty soon there's going to be less than two.
That's right. And that's going to be very soon, folks, sooner than we it was coming up very fast. Tintail, we're going to be right back with our good friend, Governor Pete DuPont. He's the chairman of the National Center for Policy Analysis, ncpa.org. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Governor Pete DuPont is our guest. And Governor, tell us about the National Center for Policy Analysis.
Well, we do a lot of thinking about mostly economic things. Social Security has been our cause for a dozen years or more. John Goodman is one of the country's he's the president of NCPA. He's one of the country's leading people on health care. So we look into health care, retirement, taxes, economic things and systems that matter to people in the country.
Especially
it's a good organization.
Free markets, free trade.
Free markets, free trade, opportunity, lower taxes, better health care systems, giving you some money so that you can decide how to spend it on health care.
Giving
you back your own money, and
right.
Also giving you these ownership accounts so you can have a good retirement.
Do you believe that the privatizing of Social Security is the right way to go?
Oh, I do. I believe it very strongly, because first you ought to own your future. Paying money into Social Security with the government promising to pay it back 30, 40 years from now, if you're a young worker, that sounds good, but wouldn't it be better to have a $500,000 accumulated in your account so that when you reach 65, you can have a good retirement? Shouldn't you own it? I mean, we think you should own it.
Every young couple looking into retirement with their 401k and their IRAs and the different vehicles that they have, evaluate the companies that they invest in. Everyone who buys an insurance policy wants to make sure that the company that their insurance policy is going to be paid by, if there is any kind of a payment, a collection that's made, they want to make sure that that company is financially sound and that the basis for their product is actuarially sound. If they did the same analysis of the Social Security program, it would scare the bejeebers out of them because there's no actuarial basis of the Social Security system.
No, and the reason is, as I said a few moments ago as we were getting to the commercial, there used to be 45 workers paying into Social Security when Franklin Roosevelt started it. Now they're a little bit more than two, and in another quarter of a century they'll be less than two. And so if you're going to work at age 25 today, you say to yourself, I'm going to pay all this money in to support older generations, and when my turn comes, there isn't going to be any money there. And that's accurate unless we fix the system. And the best way to fix the system is to make you the ownership of your own account, and then you know it'll be there. The government can't take it away. The day you retire, it's there to give you a better retirement. So I think it's going to happen. I think President Bush is onto a good thing here.
I want you to come back another day and talk about tort reform and talk about flat tax. Or not, maybe not flat tax, but just reforming the tax code, which is another thing that you talk about in this article. By the way, folks, you can find that at WallStreetJournal.com. It's the opinion journal on the editorial page. You can find that in their archives. Governor, what about the Democrat Party? What do you think the Democrat Party is going to look like over the next 4 to 8 years?
Well, when a political party has taken a drubbing at the polls year after year, they have to change themselves. The Republicans had to change themselves after the 1930s. The Democrats have to change themselves today. They have to become more market-oriented. They have to recognize that there are people who have religious feelings in the country, that's not a bad thing. They have to understand that if you're going to have a free world, sometimes you've got to go and eliminate the terrorists and the dictators who are trying to make it unfree. The party's got to change, and it starts with their chairman, and I don't know, I guess Howard Dean's going to be the next chairman.
It's looking like that, isn't it?
It is looking like that, and I'm not sure he's a big advocate of change, but he's a very forceful person. He'll certainly help them from that perspective, but I think they have to change their philosophy a little bit, and that's a tough thing to do in a political party, Republican or Democrat, but they've been losing so badly with their current kind of collective philosophy and their socialist beliefs that I think they're just going to have to change.
You know, I wish they had Paul Tsongas back. I think they're missing Paul Tsongas right now. You knew Paul Tsongas, didn't you?
I did know him, and that's a perfectly good example. He was a very intelligent and thoughtful person, and they need somebody like that to kind of get them back on track because, as they saw in the election results, middle Americans don't think their party makes sense.
Paul Tsongas said to his own party, "You can't love jobs and hate the job provider."
Well, there you go.
And he told them that a long time ago, and they need to think about that. I think the way the marketplace is changing and the century of the entrepreneur is unfolding is what the Democrat Party has got to start focusing on. Governor DuPont, thank you for being here. Good job today, as always, and we'll see you next time.
Jim, good to be with you again.
You too. Governor Pete DuPont, ladies and gentlemen, with the chairman of the National Centers for Policy Analysis. He'll be back another day. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.